two of the main conversations that are going around in Catholic circles these days have to do, one, with the COVID situation, naturally, that everyone talks about, and secondly, with matters to do with the liturgy. So COVID wars and liturgy wars. So it seems to me that in many places, if there are any public masses at all, there's no public masses here, but wherever there's a mass, it will be easy for the preacher to apply today's gospel to one or another of those two conversations. When it comes to COVID, there's this concern about following all the rules for being safe, stay safe. So you go to a parish, there's a big sign, wash your hands or disinfect your hands, wear your mask, keep your social distance, get vaccinated, all in big letters. It's something like the concern of the Pharisees that all the purification rituals should be done in order to be considered a good Jew. So it's easy to say, okay, why isn't there a big sign at the parish saying, stay away from temptation, but stay, mask yourself from speaking gossip, cleanse your hearts, not your hands. There's no big sign like that at the parish. And so the preacher in this gospel could say, well, Jesus says we shouldn't be so concerned about human traditions and human rules. Let's follow God's commandment. Okay. And that's valid. I've done that myself. And if I were in the parish, maybe that is what I would say. The other controversy or the other battle going on in a lot of Catholic conversations is about the liturgy. This is especially because Pope Francis has issued that document suppressing or checking the use of the traditional Latin Mass. And so, depending on which side you listen to, this is a step forward. It free us from all these empty traditions, or this is a big step backward. The Pope is cutting off the very roots of Catholic life and the liturgy. And so there's lots of arguments about it. And we could say that this gospel applies to that too. What are we clinging to? Are we clinging to God's commandment, or are we clinging to human tradition? Are we making a priority to live the law of love, love of God and love of neighbor, or are we making it our priority to determine who's receiving in the hand and who's receiving on the tongue, or who's doing the proper thing with the liturgy? As you know, a lot of failure to love comes out in our criticism of one another when it has to do with liturgy. Even these online liturgies, the people who are watching are very critical of what they see. Now, why did that priest kiss the altar with his mask on? Why did that priest take off his mask to kiss the altar? Why did the priest wash his hands? Why did he not wash his hands? Why, he sneezed. Should he be allowed to distribute communion? Now, that's the kind of thing people are focused on when they watch the mass online. And so it's easy to say that's not the heart of religion. Okay, as I say, it's easy to apply the gospel to these matters, but I think I'm going to take a different course. I'd like to focus this morning on today's second reading from the great letter of James, first chapter. James is a blunt, practical man, and he gives us lots of wisdom about what religion is all about, really. And today's second reading is a great example of this. I encourage you to look up this passage in the Bible, because in our liturgical reading, it's all chopped up. There's just a few verses here and there. But if you look at from verse 17 all the way up to verse 27, there's a great instruction on real religion, true religion, how it works. starts out with verse 17 or verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. All good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no alteration or shadow caused by change. Okay, every good thing comes from God. It doesn't come from us doing the right thing. It doesn't come from us following the rules or making good rules or making sure other people follow rules. It comes from God, from the Father of lights, who has nothing evil in him and no mistakes. He willed to give us birth by the word of truth. Anyone in Anuim should have a great love for the word of truth. We're pondering the word every day. Why? Well, because this is how God gives us life. We're not giving ourselves life. We didn't give ourselves birth. God gives us birth by the word of truth. That's the gospel. So it starts with God, and God very generously gives us life by the word of truth. Okay, so that's where religion starts. It doesn't start with washing our hands or with the proper orientation of the liturgical rituals. Then the reading goes on, or this part is skipped over, but it's good stuff. Verse 19, know this, my dear brothers, everyone should be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Quick to hear the gospel, quick to hear the word of truth, not quick to hear the gossip or the criticisms or the rules. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, meaning don't be so quick to judge what everybody else is doing wrong. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of a man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. The wrath of man is what we see all the time when we or others see people breaking the rules. So-and-so is not vaccinated. So-and-so is not wearing a veil, so-and-so is not wearing a mask, or what all kinds of rules. Here it is. That's where the wrath of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Therefore, this is verse 21, which we only have part of in today's reading, but listen to the whole verse 21. Therefore, put away all filth and evil excess, and humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. So in the liturgical reading, it focuses on humbly welcoming the word that has been planted. That's the second time now the word is mentioned in this reading. First of all, the word of truth is how we're brought to birth. Secondly, we're supposed to welcome this word humbly. This is our part. But before we welcome the word, James says, put away all filth and evil excess. So before we can welcome the word, we have to get rid of what interferes with our welcoming of the word. And now James always uses strong, blunt language like this, filth and evil excess, or anything. We might not consider it filth. Maybe it's just distraction, or maybe preoccupation, fixation, preference, judgment, whatever it is. That is going to prevent us from welcoming the word. Humbly welcoming the word that has been planted in us and is able to save our souls. Again, how are we saved? We're saved because God saves us, not because we wash our hands properly. James continues here, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Be doers of the word. Now you see what happens? It doesn't start with us doing the word. It starts with God giving us the word, planting the word in our hearts. Then we welcome it, then we do it. This is how religion works, true religion works. We do the word. We take what God says and we put it into practice, or we strive to. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his own face in a mirror. He sees himself, then goes off and promptly forgets what he looked like. That's what happens when we listen to the word and we don't put it into practice. We get a word of truth and we forget the truth. We get an insight and we or a light, and then we go out and live darkly. But the one who peers into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres, and is not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, such a one shall be blessed in what he does. And then it picks up here, verse 26. Again, this is not in today's reading, but it's part of what James is teaching us. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, his religion is vain. So thinking that we're religious does not make us religious. Religious words and actions do not make us religious. Bridling the tongue, meaning controlling the tongue, is part of true religion. Then it picks up verse 27, which is in today's reading. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. So now we got the social justice dimension of religion. Take care of the poor, take care of widows and orphans. Don't get defiled by the world. Bring the life that you have received and give it to those who are in need. So we have welcoming the word, we have religious life, we have the importance of putting God first, and then we have doing the word, the importance of putting our neighbor first. Love of God, love of neighbor. That becomes the fullest expression of what James calls a true religion, or religion that is pure and undefiled. Today's psalm, the response is, the one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. Doing justice, that's taking care of orphans and widows, it's living out the word, will live in the presence of the Lord. The opposite is also true. The one who lives in the presence of the Lord does justice. You see what I'm saying here? This receiving of the word and doing of the word has to go together. If we're just receiving the word and not doing it, we become Pharisees. If we're just trying to do good and without the word, we're going to end up becoming self-righteous again. And that's the error of the people who are focusing on perfect liturgy all the time, is that they forget to take care of the widows and the orphans. The people who are focusing on the widows and the orphans and they never go to Mass, they lose the love of God. We have to have both. In reflecting on this, we came up with the example of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Saint Mother Teresa. She spent a lot of time serving the poor. That's what she's famous for. But she spent a lot of time on her knees before the Lord, a holy hour every day. Both receiving the word, doing the word, loving the Lord, loving our neighbor. That's religion that is pure and undefiled before God our Father.